B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Can we get a price check on that mower? Price check on aisle five?
I can't do that, Reeve, to save my life. At least I'm calling it the right name now.
At least you're saying Aaron's now.
But they put the pronunciation at the end, but it still looks like it's part of the read. So I like go to say, and I'm like, wait, no, stop talking.
Am I buying a new car or am I buying a lawnmower?
How much is that mower?
It's like that game on Price is Right where you slide the numbers to the right and left.
I might have thrown some extra nines in there. That was tough. Yeah, that wasn't great.
You selling me a $21,000 mower? Because if that's true, that's going to be one hell of a mower.
I don't have an acreage here. I just want to cut the grass. What's it going to cost me? It's under $3,000, right? McCone, can we say that? All right, thanks.
Am I buying a mower or a pink Cadillac for the Stidhams? What am I buying there, Hardy? Stidham's back, apparently. He's out there throwing. Looks like a fire's been lit. He is apparently
It's always been burning, Beetle.
I don't know.
Always been burning.
He's back from Texas, that we know. I don't know how the wedding was, but I hope it was good. He's back throwing, as is Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer and Jarrett Stidham are leading the East Coast Patriots throwing sessions, while Cam Newton is out west throwing with some Patriots as well. So it feels like the battle is on now. The battle. Let me read from Mike Reese on the quarterback competition. One of the more intriguing aspects of the past week had Cam Newton remaining in L.A. while throwing to newly signed Patriots receiver Damier Byrd, among others. While Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer were on the opposite coast in Massachusetts, alongside starting center David Andrews, throwing to receivers Mohamed Sanu and Gunnar Olszewski. Running back Damian Harris and rookie tight end Dalton Keene, among others.
By the way, none of this makes me feel good about the season.
Nope.
So we got one quarterback throwing to Damier Byrd, and the other guys are throwing to
Olszewski, Harris,
and the Gunner,
and Keene.
Whoo! Talk about a murderer's row. All right.
It says it's hard to top Newton when it comes to career resume.
Yeah.
But he has notable ground to make up compared to Stidham and Hoyer, with relationship building among the majority of teammates and knowledge of coordinator Josh McDaniels' system. Newton began the process by throwing to Sanu and 2019 first-round pick N'Keal Harry last week, and he played with Byrd in Carolina. Meanwhile, one line of thinking is the Patriots will learn a lot about Stidham based on how he responds to Newton's arrival. The fact Stidham is helping to lead player-only workouts in Massachusetts while observing social distancing guidelines,
that's nice,
reflects that he isn't backing down. What did we expect him to do? What did you expect Jarrett Stidham to do with the signing of Cam Newton? Shut it down? Not do anything? I'd be easy on giving all this credit out right now. But the fact that Cam Newton is in L.A. and not here, does that hurt him or prevent him, I should say, from getting as much knowledge of the system and of the players as possible?
Yeah.
This is the same thing, and I know it's different circumstances. The world is in a very different place. But it's the same thing at this point in the preseason a year ago. We were talking about Tom Brady not being at OTAs, Brady not doing as much in the offseason as he could possibly do, and yet he's doing it this year with Tampa Bay, and we've talked about that. This is Cam Newton doing some throwing, but is he doing as much as he could be?
It probably is going to affect him. Now, I don't know. Maybe he is, you know, some kind of playbook savant, and he can just, you know, look at stuff and watch film and get as much out of that. But my gut tells me that working with guys who have been in the system even a little bit would have, you would have a better chance of picking up on things quicker, and especially working with with David Andrews. I mean, that's to me, that probably gives you as much of a leg up as anything else. I just don't know that it's going to make a difference if it comes down to raw talent. You know, system, and, you know, the guys are working with, we've got Cam out on the West Coast. You've got Stidham, and you've got Hoyer back here, and they're working with their guys. But when it comes down to it, and they get them all together, it's like, who can really play? Who can really play?
Okay, but are there lines being drawn here? It's sort of odd.
It seems like it is one versus two. It seems like there is a Stidham-Hoyer contingency. Like, these guys have
the establishment.
The old guard, right? But if you're Hoyer, you pretty much have to be on Team Stidham if you want to stay with the Patriots.
Yes, I get what you're saying.
Because if it's Cam Newton, if they decide it's Cam Newton, there could be three. There could be three quarterbacks. I get that, but
if you want to be as close to starting as possible,
just want to stick around and have a job, and you're Brian Hoyer, who are you going to chum up with, Cam Newton or Jared Stidham?
Probably Stidham, because I think there is a battle that could take place. And this is why I wish Cam Newton were here, because I think the Patriots will obviously adapt to him as much as he will need to adapt to them. And it'll be a new system for him to learn, a new terminology for him to learn. And I think that if Newton were here, he's showing an immediate commitment to teammates and building relationships, not just as people, but as players, on the field connections between a center and a team leader in David Andrews.
Yep.
And this, not just one or two receivers, the entire group of receivers and the rookie tight end and everybody that's involved. There's no reason why Cam Newton can't be on the field with both Stidham and Hoyer.
Where's Edelman?
That's a good question. All three of them can be in the same place.
Yes.
All three quarterbacks can be on the same field. I don't know what his personal situation is, family-wise. I don't know what... I didn't know that he would lived in L.A. I guess that's where he lives. He's in L.A. He's based in L.A.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I don't know. And I still don't even know.
Maybe just
spending his off season there. I have no idea. But I would get here. I would come here if I were him.
And I also
Then it gets to this, right? So if Cam Newton's not here and then they get to camp and Stidham and all these receivers are on the same page and Hoyer, same thing. And they come in, they all look good and they're all in a rhythm. And you're trying to divide snaps in camp. And you're trying to figure out how much of the offense do we want to adapt for Cam Newton? Well, if Cam Newton's here and he's working out every day with his teammates, you're like, well, we want Cam Newton to succeed. We want him to be the starter. He's the most talented guy in the group. Well, if more of that offense is staying the same, that benefits guys like Stidham and Hoyer, to make your point,
yeah,
of who would you align with.
Now, two things. If you're Brian Hoyer or Jared Stidham, would you want to work out with Cam Newton? On a voluntary, hey, let's all get together and, you know, chuck some balls around. Should we invite Cam? Beetle, should we invite Cam? Stidham. I'm Hoyer. You want to call Cam? Yeah, I heard he's going to be back here this weekend.
No, because I guess if you're being honest with yourself and you're one of those two guys, as competitors, you're like, no, this guy's better than us. He's going to beat our brains in. Do we want to help him or do we want to beat him out?
And from a Brian Hoyer perspective, I believe that Brian Hoyer is doing this because he thinks, not only is this what's best for me, it's what's best for the team. I think Brian Hoyer thinks that this should be a Jared Stidham or Brian Hoyer football team, because that's what he's been thinking for the last several months. That's what I've got my head wrapped around right now. So what, they signed Cam Newton a few weeks ago. I don't even know if the guy can play. He was injured. I don't know. This is what I have said in my head as to what's going to happen. So I'm going to go focus in on this because A, it's what I've already conditioned myself to. And I think it's what's going to give us the best possibility to succeed. It might be me starting. It might be Stidham, but this is what we're doing. This is what I was doing before. This is what I was thinking back in March and April, and that's still what I'm thinking now.
Well, if Stidham wins the job, then Hoyer's probably the backup, right? And yeah, if Cam wins the job, Hoyer's probably gone. So
I don't think he is, because I think many times, if you go back and look over the years, there have been many occasions where Bill has kept three quarterbacks on the roster.
Yep.
And if there were ever a season to keep three quarterbacks on the roster,
Cam,
this
yeah.
is the one.
This
no,
is the
just because of the potential to lose a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To lose a guy because he's been, you know, either testing positive or is through contact tracing, being told to stay away,
yep.
whatever it might be, this is the year to have three guys. So I don't really know that anyone's job is in jeopardy, and they're all getting paid short money.
If there's
so it, monetarily speaking, it's no big deal to have all three of these guys. I think they're all on the roster, but I think you're right. If Stidham's the starter, you know, who's the next guy up if Stidham goes down and that offense is tailored to Stidham's strengths? Who's more similar, Hoyer or Cam Newton? Because here's the other thing. If Stidham's a starter, I don't think Cam is.
Well, his job
wouldn't be in jeopardy, but they'd move on because I just don't think he's going to be accepting of not being the starter.
Correct.
But I still think there would be a third quarterback in there somewhere. And Hoyer would be that much closer to starting. That we shouldn't leave out. So I get what you're saying, why he would align himself with Stidham. If Stidham wins the job, I don't think Newton's here. And Hoyer's definitely here, and he's the backup.
Correct.
To a guy who's never started an NFL game, and you're that close to being the starter yourself.
And even if they're all three guys here and Hoyer's job isn't in jeopardy, and maybe they've told him, it's like, Brian, you're not going anywhere. Don't worry about it. Okay, I still don't want to be third down the depth chart, so if I'm going to work out and help another guy get ready, it's going to be Stidham. That way, I've still got a chance to start, and if I'm not, I'm going to be number two because he's thinking the same thing. If Cam's not starting, he's gone.
I'd like to defend the Patriots on something that I've heard them criticized for in recent weeks, and really, most notably, the last few days.
All right.
That would be franchising Joe Tooney and now not reaching an extension with Joe Tooney, and he will now play under the tag.
Okay.
I would like to defend Joe Tooney's honor and the Patriots. I'll do that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The former QB, always laser focused.
It's like going to bed at night, bringing a rattlesnake in your room. I'm sleep on a hot spot, on a hot rock.
And the guy who was always by his side.
The Lakers, UFOs, mayonnaise, all in the mix here.
Zolak and Bertrand.
If that makes any sense.
No.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand on this Monday. Beadle, Harding, McCone. I've heard a little criticism of the Patriots in recent days as it relates to Joe Tooney. You know, ever since Joe Tooney was given the franchise tag, he was hit with the tag. There was the discussion of, well, they got to trade him, right? There was that. I got to trade Joe Tooney. Got to trade him. You can't have that. Franchise guard, you can't. What are you going to do? Can't have that. He's got to go. You got to trade him. Oh, they'll trade him before the draft. Then the draft came and went, and he wasn't traded. Oh, you got to trade him now before training camp if he doesn't agree to a long-term deal. I've heard that over and over and over again. I can't say we've spent a lot of time talking about Joe Tooney on this show because, quite frankly, I understand talking about guards probably bores a lot of people to tears. I get it. Offensive line talk? No, that's not something we do a lot of. But in this case, I want to do it because I heard Felger Maz on it last week. I was on TV last night and got asked about it. Did the Patriots screw this up? No. The answer is no. They didn't screw anything up. Guards get the best guards in the league. Is Joe Tooney one of those guys? Is Joe Tooney one of the upper echelon guards in the National Football League? Yes or no? Anyone?
Jim? Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. We all agree. He is. He has established himself as that. Do you know what those guys get paid? They get paid $14 million a year. That is the going rate. There are two top guards that were free agents this offseason. Brandon Scherff with the Redskins and Joe Tooney with the Patriots. Those two guys. Wait, they're not the Redskins anymore. What are we calling them right now?
The Washington football team.
The Washington football team. I'm serious. Like, I didn't mean to say that.
Sounds like they're doing an unauthorized appearance at a Dick's Sporting Goods in Virginia.
Yes.
Meet members of the Washington football team this Saturday from noon to two.
Meet your favorite New England football player. At MVP Sports this Saturday from 9 to noon. The 98.5, the Sports Up Street team will be there handing out God knows what.
Meet Boston basketball players.
Anyway, Brandon Scherff was a free agent. Joe Tooney was a free agent. They both got hit with a franchise tag. They All both right. got it. Let me give you some of the guard contracts in the last couple of years that have been handed out to guys in this category. Brandon Brooks. Actually, you know what? I'll give you Zach Martin first. These are the two examples I've gone back to the whole spring on this. Zach Martin from the Cowboys got 6 years and $84 million with $40 million guaranteed as a guard. Do you want, I told you there would be no math. I will do the math for you. $84 million over 6 years, $14 million per season. He signed that two calendar years ago as the biggest guard contract. Then in November, Brandon Brooks and the Eagles agreed to a new contract. They gave him a four-year extension at $56.2 million guaranteed, $30 million of it guaranteed, $20 million paid up front at signing. That math is just a tad over $14 million per year. And what's the tag number? 14 and change for Joe Tooney, right? I get that it's guaranteed. I get that there's a massive cap hit in a season where the Patriots don't exactly have a lot of room to spare. But if the option is moving on from Joe Tooney and just letting him walk out the door, or keeping him for the going rate of a top guard, granted, not the best cap scenario, but keeping him on your roster in a year in which you are moving on from the greatest quarterback of all time, and you are also for a second time moving on from Dante Scarnecchia. And oh, by the way, the guy who plays right next to him at center in David Andrews looks good, looks like he's going to be able to play, but we'd be lying if we said there is no uncertainty there, given that he just missed an entire season. So what's the smart play? Keeping Joe Tooney or not keeping Joe Tooney? And I think the smart play is keeping Joe Tooney on the roster and paying him his $14 million. And I would say that given everything that has happened in the world and the uncertainty in the NFL with how the salary cap will go into future years, how contracts will look in future years, revenues that will be disappearing in the sport this season and maybe beyond, I think a lot of people want to immediately look at the player and say, oh, the player didn't want to get a long-term deal done. That's why he's now going to play under the tag. It is quite possible that the team didn't want to agree to a big deal because they don't know what the future is going to look like. So I don't know that the team really leveraged the player in any way, because what's his motivation? I got $14 million guaranteed up front and I get to hit free agency again. In the end, it may not even work out best for the player. He may have been better off taking a longer-term deal if it were offered last season before we knew what was happening.
Sure.
Right?
There's a like ton, ton of that going around.
If it was offered last October or November, I don't know if there were even discussions at that time, but if there were, maybe he lost some money. So maybe that motivated him to say, I'm just going to play under the tag and take it. So I'd be easy on saying that it was the wrong move, or that the Patriots somehow screwed this up by tagging him, or screwed it up by not trading him, or any of those things. I'm glad he's here. He should be here. And yeah, for the cap, it's not ideal, but do you want the player or not? And I want the player.
Yeah, I think doing anything with a short-term window right now is probably the wisest move. And it is a ton of money, but as you said, Beetle, that's what these guys get paid at that position. And agreeing to anything long-term right now from an owner or a player's side may not serve you well. It's tough to imagine. Nobody wants to think about things getting worse. But if you're Joe Tooney right now, fine. The $14 million, we're not going to agree to anything else right now. Think things might get a little bit better. But without knowing, let's do the deal. We'll do it for a year. And for the team, yeah, you absolutely want the player. Can't afford to lose him. And that's what you ended up doing. It's just, it's hard for people to wrap their head around that a guard that's somebody you don't think about. I myself do not think about unless they're screwing up.
Right.
That's the only time I pay attention to an offensive lineman is when they're messing up. Beyond that, it doesn't matter to me. So, yeah, it's difficult for people like me to wrap their head around that type of money for a player at that position. But everyone else knows, and they understand the value, and that's what it costs, and that's what they did.
I think it was the right move. I think it's the right move, and I think they did the right thing here. I'm not going to criticize them for paying an offensive lineman what he would get on the market and what he deserves to be paid. Not a big deal. But again, it's guard talk. It's so boring. Guard, who spends a lot of time talking about guards? Like you
Bedard.
Said, when they're bad. That's when but that's Bedard. I mean, Bedard's a writer. The writers write and talk about everything.
Right.
Only when Jordan Devy's playing and letting guys run right by him.
I always use Mike Flynn as my example on this. Mike Flynn won't talk about offensive linemen.
Right. And we've done enough of it today. That's it. That's enough guard talk.
He was one for 10 years.
That's enough. No more guard talk. Okay, there it is. I've said my piece. I have no issue with the Patriots for having Joe Tooney here on that tag. Let's talk about Bill Belichick and his Subway spot last week.
Ooh.
We'll do a little commercial there. Bill. And this date in show history coming up at 11:50.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Hub. Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back, everyone. Not much has been normal about 2020, right? So seeing Patriots head coach Bill Belichick filming a Subway commercial wouldn't surprise you, would it? The eight-time Super Bowl champion had the town of Brantford buzzing earlier today. Belichick was on the town green shooting a spot for the Milford-based sub-franchise. Bill wearing a mask when not on camera or taking a break for water. Belichick is not one for things outside of football, but the future Hall of Famer playing the part today. Not sure how many subs or how many takes it took. Do know that turkey and Italian combo were on the filming menu this afternoon. My daughter's friends with phones all over the scene today. Gianna Charliglio, Marcus Index, Alex Delfini, Connor Massey. They're like TMZ reporters out there. They had every angle covered. No word, though, when the commercial will air.
Roll call. I'm sorry, was that the random shout out to his daughter and
no.
all of her friends?
Got crediting reporters. Crediting reporters with the photos they were using on the air.
My daughter's friends with phones all over the scene today. Gianna Charliglio, Marcus Index, Alex Delfini,
Marcus
Connor
Index?
Yeah.
Marcus Index? Is that his name? His last name's Index? Index. Okay.
New Haven Television.
New Haven has their own stations.
Apparently.
I thought that would
cover the Subway commercials.
I mean, that's between Hartford and New York. I just figured you'd either get a New York station or a Hartford station there.
I mean, they're not every day. They're kind of like on a fall school schedule. Those New Haven TV stations are like 3 days on, 2 days off. Luckily, the Subway spot was being filmed on an on day.
It's a hybrid model. You know, there are days where New Haven will do it and then Stamford will cover the other days.
Right.
Gianna Charliglio, Marcus Index.
Something like that.
He never knew his daughter's friends' names until that report.
Right. He's reading them off the prompter.
Yeah. It's not like he's greeting them by name when they come over to the house.
And Gianna lives with her mom now, but it was nice to hear from her today. Anyway, what is with that? I wasn't here last week, so I didn't get a chance to talk about this. Bill doing commercials. And why is it that every time...
A commercial. He did a Subway
Bill
commercial.
Belichick in a commercial.
Yes.
Has Bill ever appeared in a commercial? Ever?
Not that I can think of.
I can't recall. I
not
can't,
outside of like classic NFL films, like stuff that's sideline in game stuff.
That doesn't count. We're talking about endorsing a product or appearing in a commercial. Bill Belichick. That is, it's not like him. Not like him to do that. And why is it that when I see that, my mind immediately goes to, what is this, some sort of like F you to Gronk and Brady? Like, I'm not fun enough? Guess what? I'm doing commercials now. I'm out here doing my own things now, guys.
So,
I don't know how exactly they connect, but it represents some sort of new Bill.
That's
to me.
What I said.
I don't know what it is.
It wasn't a new Bill, but listen, whether it's subconscious, whether it's a conscious decision where he said, now I'll bet blah, 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 blah. Everything's different this year because of one player. It is. It is a new job. It's a new team. It's a new day in Foxborough. So there are other things that are new. Just something new going on. He's had the same quarterback for 20 years. And the most important player on the team, whether he wants to say one player is more important than that, we all know that's BS. So he knows somewhere in his head something new. You know what? Maybe I'll do something new to go along with this other new thing. And again, whether it's a conscious decision or not, whether it looks one way and they're trying to, I don't know. But do they fit together? Yes, something different. Here's another something different. Bill's sitting down doing a Subway commercial, which prompted me, Beetle, on Thursday of last week as I was driving past a Subway and needed to get a quick little fuel. I said, you know, I haven't been into a Subway since, I don't know. It's been months and months because we haven't been going to places, right? But I have not been into Subway. I said, you know what? I'm talking about that damn meatball sub for better part of a show.
You see Zoe there? He's always there.
I know. He loves it. He loves it.
He's always there.
Regular?
Hello, Mr. Zolak.
Right.
Would you like the regular?
I stopped in, and they were not busy.
Oh.
I was way out away from it. Okay. But the guy said, 6-inch meatball, please. He goes, why not a foot long? I got to eat it in like 10 minutes. You know, I'm teeing off in like 15.
So did
you. Well, come on. How about a foot long? Tell you what, I'll buy chips and a drink, even though I'm not going to, you know, eat them all. But, you know, just to, you know, help out the cause here.
That make him feel better?
Yeah, I think it
no,
does.
No, it's good.
I think it's good.
good.
Delicious.
Good.
Delightful.
Excellent.
Really enjoyed that sandwich.
6-inch. Are you sure?
How about a foot long? Come on.
I mean, come on. It just represents something new. A new attitude. A new outlook on life. It's like Peter in Office Space when he finally broke, you know, when he was told for the 4,000th time about the TPS report. He just broke. That's it. You know what? Let's do whatever the hell we want now.
No, he was left in a hypnotic state when that guy died while he was still under.
So I just think maybe it's in the new Bill. The new Bill. Have all the fun you want. In fact, we're going to go out and get Cam Newton. That's fun. Cam Newton is fun. That's a fun player.
He's having a little bit of fun.
Not only that, I'm just going to let him do whatever he wants to do. We're going to tailor the offense to him. We want to give him all the input in the world. Now, Brady, you didn't like your level of input. Guess what? The new guy, he calls the shots.
I'm going to put the dog on the draft. We're going to do all that stuff.
We're going to put the dog in the chair at the draft.
Wow.
We're going to be in a Subway commercial.
You're right, Jim.
We're going to do whatever the hell we feel like doing now.
Superstar quarterbacks. We're going to go with a superstar quarterback.
I'll show you fun. Oh, you thought I wanted to go with the kid and have someone who's more manageable and more coachable? No, I'm going to go get a superstar who's a former league MVP, who's got his own ideas about a lot of things, and that's our guy now.
What's our checklist say? No celebrity quarterbacks? Who can we get?
Right.
Cam Newton, not a celebrity.
He should open a gym.
And what is it? You know, don't contribute to the noise? Isn't that sort of the... I forget what it was that was written on the door.
Ignore the noise.
Ignore the noise, but also there's a don't contribute to it, which is why I think some players, you know, said... took issue with him politicking a couple years ago, right? So now, you know what? Contribute all the noise you want. Do whatever you want to do. In fact, I'm going out to tape a commercial this week, guys. I'll be down in Connecticut.
So what's the next fun thing that he does? He had the dog on the draft. You got Cam Newton at quarterback. Filmed a commercial. What's next?
Letting Cam Newton's trainer in the building.
Oh, brilliant.
I was thinking more along the lines of putting one of those birds that drink out of the water glass on his desk. But okay. he could let Cam Newton's
I don't know that
building.
That's going to be allowed by league protocols, whatever
Good
those
point.
Protocols
Good
are.
Point.
But, oh, you need your trainer here? No problem.
Your vegan chef in here?
You need him on the team flights? That's no issue. We'll get him a hotel room, too. Want to keep him in the bubble.
You know what? Where'd you get that hat? I think we're all going to wear those hats.
Friday's hat day.
What's that suit with the shorts? Maybe I'll do that.
Hey, you know what, Cam? I was thinking about wearing a scarf to the podium. You got something I can borrow? Get something I can use for that?
Shows up in a romper.
I imagine... Bill Belichick goes from being the guy who doesn't care at all about his appearance and the way he dresses, not part of his thing, all of a sudden becomes consumed with fashion and starts showing up in something very fashionable every press conference.
Shows up, light up sneakers and those white mall walkers he's always wearing. Now look at these. I light up when you take a step. That's fun. You see me coming down the hall. I have to turn the lights on.
This Dayton Show history is coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
This was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Where we're going, we don't need roads.
This Dayton Show history for July 20th. July 20th. Still doing this. When does this end? When do we end?
When do you want to end it?
I really don't want to end it.
I guess we kind of have to end it like next June because we can't just keep going over and over the same things.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. But we can keep it going for now. But once we have games, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to happen every day. What do we have today?
Well, on this date, 2016, 20th of July.
Okay. Yeah.
We had a caller. He was on the line. Something happened, I believe, while the phone call was going on. Is that an accurate depiction of this, Jim?
Yeah, Tom says yes.
All right.
Okay.
Could be an abduction. That's not the right one. Here we go.
Okay. Go ahead, Grain.
SOS.
What is this? What are we doing here? Why is this happening?
This guy is so funny. It's unbelievable.
Are we being abducted by aliens right now?
Get the glasses of water out. If you put water out, they won't come.
I mean, what was that? I don't know.
Now, Beetle, you and I went round and round, like a couple of tomcats, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Over the new Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh, don't get me going on that again.
Did you watch the Berkshire's UFO episode?
Of course not.
Well, then you're ill-equipped to have this conversation. McCone, did you watch it?
I have not watched the new Unsolved Mysteries.
Well,
yet.
Don't waste your time. Don't.
Let me tell you something.
Watch an old one. You'll feel better about it.
Something happened out there in the Berkshires. 69. Oh, it happened. Abduction? I don't know. Multiple people saw something.
How many minutes did they take to tell you that something happened?
Longer than the actual abduction lasted, uh-huh. I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But... It happened. Something happened out there. It takes a while. It's a slow burn. I'll grant you that. And I didn't love all the episodes, slow. Especially the one that was all in French with subtitles.
Boring burn.
That one. Ooh, nappy time. That was nappy time downstairs.
Reboot the original.
You can't. Robert Stack no longer with us.
Yeah, replace him.
With who?
Someone else.
With who?
Someone else is capable of hosting.
Name the guy. You name the host.
Rob Poole. Get Rob Poole to do it.
Oh. I could do that.
I mean, really. It's about the reenactments infused with real-life interview clips.
Well, they
about all of that.
They reenacted a few things. All right, so...
Lost loved ones, UFOs, unexplained death, murder, all the great categories of unsolved mysteries, which they could give you the case in 12 minutes or less.
On this date, 2017, we've had hosts who did not listen before. We've had hosts listening.
Frequently.
How about a caller not listening? Which... I guess it happens, but maybe we don't capture them on tape like we do now.
It was not that the tiger ripped his throat out and the lack of blood to his brain caused the stroke. No, no, no.
Right.
Roy, standing next to the tiger on stage, who wouldn't move and started beating him on the head with the microphone.
Whoops.
Right? The tiger reached up and grabbed him by the throat. No, 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 no. The tiger noticed that there was something wrong with Roy and was trying to save him and pull him to safety. Let's go to Josh in Attleboro. Josh, you're on with...
What's up, Josh?
Hardy and Zolak here live from the cast. What's up?
Surprisingly, the story really hasn't gotten out. It's more just like, oh, everybody just understands that the tiger attacked him and they don't really understand the circumstances. So I'm giving you his account of what happened. Basically, is that he had a stroke while he was on stage. Mm-hmm. And apparently the tiger, and this is words out of his mouth, sensed that he was in danger. And with
did I just not say this? We just spent 3 minutes talking about this. This is exactly what I said.
This is not real.
You said that he had a stroke?
Yes.
Why were we at the cask? On July 20th in 2017.
I think there was a rainout on like Marathon Monday or a rainout on opening day or something.
Yep.
Or like a playoff game,
that.
Maybe,
no,
or something.
I think it was Marathon Monday. Zoe and I went there, did the show, and we had to do it a second time because of the rainout. I think that's how it
and
went.
And you weren't there.
I was on a vacation.
Yeah. Good for you.
I was on a vacation.
I took these out of order, T-Bone. I'm sorry. I apologize. I wasn't purposely saving this one for the end. And maybe it doesn't deserve to be at the end, but there was a new character unveiled on the show. On this date, July 20th, 2016, it's something that Tom's calling Hardy's new character, Enthusiastic Aquarium Guy.
Get the right
He's an aquarium. He's also an aquarium expert, on top of everything else that he is an expert in.
Next thing you know,
Not
he wrote
surprisingly, he's an Aquarius, born under that sign. He was destined to be a shark expert.
And was probably consulted in a new movie, Finding Dory, right? And,
or is he a Pisces?
Is that Carlton from Norwell talking about
it? Is that Marshall about Scomo?
I think it's Hook and Carlton together.
No, it's a new character. It's a guy who gets really excited talking about aquariums guy.
You know, I got a new filter. It's a carbon filter, and these things are the best. Look, you can tell the fish are happier.
Did you blend Dick?
I think
you
blended Dick. Don't tap on the Flavin. Glass.
Yeah, Dick Flavin's back up.
I think Dick Flavin blended into this guy as well.
Something has to rhyme in there. This is a rhyming
It's got a
aquarium.
Little bit of the Raiders owner there, too. It's got a bit of Fred Tutcher's, what's his name? Mark Davis. Yeah, it's got a little bit of Mark Davis.
You have a rhyme? Maybe you can rhyme something in there.
Something like that. Walks mother.
I made a wish. A wish for a fish. And I got one in my aquarium. Dum did it dum dum. I don't know. It's brand new. It's a brand new character. I haven't had time to think.
617-779-0985.
You know why fishes are so smart, don't you? What? They spend all the time in schools.
That character never took off.
I was going to say, that one didn't live on.
Enthusiastic aquarium guy. I don't know.
I wonder why. I wonder why that didn't stick. It was really good. It really was. I didn't tell you that at the time. I'm telling you now, that was really good stuff. Just got to workshop it a little more. You'll get there. I got faith in you.
Different incarnations.
Hey, everybody, I'm upgrading to a saltwater tank. These are the best. You got all kinds of exotic fishes in there with a saltwater aquarium.
And still working on it.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about it in 4 years. Why were we talking about it?
New character.
I don't know. don't know. It was definitely during the shark time because the shark was definitely mentioned in there. A little quiet on the shark front this year.
What's the story this
weekend? Well, yes and no. Duxbury was closed yesterday for an hour for a sighting.
But we couldn't sit here for an hour of the show without having a beach closed alert coming up on our Twitter feed.
Multiple reasons why.
All right. Well,
number one, COVID, much bigger story, right? So there's that. The news cycle is filled up with another, imminent death story, which is that one. The other part is National Seashore, fewer employees working right now. I think they're down to 40% of their staff.
Oh, boy.
Skomal is not doing, he was doing two trips a week for tagging. Now it's basically whenever they feel there's a need to go do tagging. So there's not regularly scheduled tagging trips by Skomal. So that's not going on. And I just think there is, more pressing matters. That's what it comes down to.
There was one in Sandwich on Saturday. There was a shark circling a boat.
Yeah.
They're circled around a bunch of times and then went away.
Hardy, I would not take the lack of news to mean there's a lack of sharks. That's what I would say.
No. I believe you. It just doesn't seem to be as big a deal this year. And all right, couple of reasons in there. Great white shark spot. Yeah, you're right, Jim. It was a great white there in Sandwich. Look at that. Isn't she gorgeous? Look at that. Did you see any sharks last week there, Beetle?
I didn't see any. No, I did not. I didn't see any sharks in my trip.
Did you see any clever buoys?
I did not see any clever buoys either.
Hmm.
No, but I did read something about Nauset had 3,800 detections from 64 sharks that were tagged on one buoy at Nauset Beach in 2019. 64 different white sharks, a combined 3,800 trips to that beach.
Oh, they're everywhere.
Last year.
They're just rotten with them. Just rotten with great whites.
Is that not a wild number?
64 great whites or
yes,
sharks?
64 white sharks, tagged sharks. Just the tagged ones, mind you. Any others that showed up were not obviously registering with the buoy because this is for tagged sharks only. 64 tagged sharks combined for 3,800 visits to the beach. One buoy. One buoy of data. It was a clever buoy. No, I have no idea if it was. I don't think it was. But yeah, how do you like those numbers?
I don't love them.
Want to go swimming there?
No.
I'm good. Used to love going there. Not anymore. No. Nope. All set.
I'm all set.
I'll take a hard pass. That's all. They're still out there. Don't you worry. Still out there.
What's that? So Skomal's not going out as much, huh?
No.
Huh.
Nope.
Well, that makes Zoe happy.
Irrational hatred of Skomal. Noontime hours here, everybody. 90 seconds. We've got your headlines. McCone's got you covered. And then we'll be talking about the Celtics and Kemba Walker's knee. We'll get to that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.